Welcome to the Peace Growth Here podcast. I'm your host, Yelena Theofilatos, with my Blooming Heart Hypnotherapy and Coaching. And this is a place for you if you're looking for business strategies, emotional wellness, advice, and stories from fellow ladies entrepreneurs. Hello, and welcome to the Peace Growth Here podcast. Thank you so much for choosing this episode today. I know you have many different things you can listen to or watch, and I'm honored that you decided to tune in to my episode today. And what I'm going to be talking about is the art and science, just a little bit of science, of regulating your nervous system. And we will couple that with talking about setting the intention for this new year. How can we set an intention specifically to regulate our nervous system, make a habit out of paying attention to its signs? How is it telling us that we are sliding into stress and dysregulation so that we can catch ourselves beforehand, before we blow up or implode? That is the big question that I've been asking myself as a busy entrepreneur lady. As of right now, I'm actually kind of taking a step back from my business because I'm very much occupied with my part-time job as a therapist in a local clinical counseling office, where I have a full schedule of clients whom I adore. And I decided that for my nervous system, for the sake of my mental health, I actually have to pull back a little bit from my business. But I'm still loving recording podcasts. So here I am. Welcome to the new year, everybody. How is your nervous system today? I don't know if you're listening it closer to the beginning of the year or later on. Either way, I want to congratulate you. You made it through 2024 into 2025. I don't know about you, but that was a rough year for me. So if you had some rough patches, or maybe you're going through one still as of right now, I just want to let you know that I'm rooting for you. And I hope that you will get some nuggets of maybe even wisdom, maybe even just some insights, something that will resonate with you from this episode to help you live a better life. Specifically, have a nervous system that is regulated, which has to do a lot with having a better life as well. And I would like to start with a quote that I learned from a talk by a contemporary Buddhist teacher that I watched recently. And it's a quote that she shared, but the quote is by, I might be butchering his name, Thomas Merton. He says, "The rush and pressure of modern life are perhaps the most common form of contemporary violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to be surrendered or to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone and everything, is to succumb to violence." Let it land. Think about it. I really feel it deep resonance with this quote in my body, in my nervous system, because I have definitely done that. Definitely been carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, surrendered myself to too many demands, and committed myself to too many projects and helping everyone and everything. So lately I've been learning how to exercise a sacred no. When it comes to sacred no, saying it to others and their requests of me, to my own desires, starting a new hobby or pushing forward with my business to the next level. It's been a journey. It's been a journey, and a very, very helpful one, to see where I have been putting that crazy amount of pressure on myself specifically. And you might be one of those people as well. I decided to pull back from Instagram, and I had some qualms about it. I felt guilty. I was leaving my community behind, even just for a month or so. I really bonded with many people on Instagram, but at the same time, I realized that I cannot sustain that. I realize, and maybe that's just an introvert kind of thing, I can only pay attention to a very limited number of people at a time and feel like I'm creating deep connection with them. As soon as it goes above a certain number, I get really overwhelmed and I start feeling guilty that I'm not showing up for them in an equal amount. But at the same time, I'm realizing more and more that it's just not possible. That it's just not possible. There are only 24 hours in a day, and we cannot make time. We locate it, but we cannot make and add time to what we already have. We have to pick and choose. If we're choosing something, we're choosing to do something, it means that we're choosing to not to do something else. That's just what it is, and there's no ways about it. I don't know if there is a way to manage our time more effectively, better, and to the point that we somehow can make it 25 hours instead of 24. And even though you might be like, oh, why is she talking about time management? She was going to talk about nervous system regulation. Those two topics are very, very linked. Because to regulate our nervous system, we need to be able to, a lot of times, at a very basic level, to slow the F down. It makes me think about my friend, one of my friends here on a big island, who said that she's going to have a tattoo done on her arm, on like her, close to her wrist, so she can flip her arm wrist and see it right there, that she needs to slow the F down. That's a reminder that she has been really needed to hear more of lately. So maybe one of those people. I am definitely one of them. And honestly, considering the society we're living, and I'm specifically mean United States. Let's just take United States. The pace, especially in big cities, is so overpowering, overwhelming, and it's not really something that will magically or organically slow down for us, because that's just not what capitalism is about, and capitalism underlies everything that we are at this moment in this society. It's like the underpinning, and it's all about how we can make things cheaper, faster, and ideally not nonstop. This is not how our body operates. And this is why it's important to put your foot down and start doing this work of slowing down. If there's one thing you will take from this episode, I'm going to give some more specific tips later on about techniques for nervous system regulation and how to allocate time for those. You can even skip all of that. If the only thing that you, if you only take away you will keep from today is, I'm inviting you to reflect on how you can invite more spaciousness in your life. How can you slow down a bit? And that might be quite an intimidating question, a scary one. At least it was definitely for me, because it means letting something go. letting something go. An activity, an event, a commitment. There's no other way to create a slower pace of life, more congruent with what our nervous system likes and wants to have, unless we start exercising our sacred no. And even if you learn all kinds of nervous system regulation technique that I'm going to share that you can utilize in a moment of upheaval, emotional upheaval, if you feel like doing those, just like doing your self-care, is just one more thing that you now have to do, it's just one more thing on your schedule because it's already like bursting almost, then perhaps this is not the time for you to yet add more information on top of your already full plate, but again, to trim certain things out from your life, to weed it, to make space for even a learning of something that is going to be super helpful for you. But if you feel stressed about nervous system regulation techniques and applying them in your life as one more thing to do, then it is your to-do list that needs some intervention as of right now. And it's a touchy subject. It's tender. There is a lot that we invest when we create our to-do list because those are our dreams and hopes and fears as well. But it's very important to move into this year, like any other year, intentionally and look into your to-do list and see what are those things that you can let go. And this is actually an intention I would like, a question for an intention I would like you to offer to you today to contemplate. Actually, those questions, total three that I will offer you right now, I first came up with them for the women's retreat that my friends and I are putting together on the Big Island this May. Early May, specifically for women, busy lives. We'll be learning nervous system regulation techniques and actually do them in a way that will create the foundation for those habits, for those ladies to bring them back home. And first and foremost, what I want to do when they come in, and I want to offer that to you right now, to create an intentional experience out of that retreat. And how about we create an intentional experience out of this whole year that's coming? If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know your target, your values, your direction, you'll be pulled in so many different ways and might end up feeling exhausted and empty and not feeling like you move the needle on the most important things in your life. That can be applied to so many things, to even one day. Living a day without intention, I'm sure we've all done that. How does it feel in the very end of that day? How does it feel? It feels a bit like we, quote unquote, wasted time. And of course, it's never wasted. There are always lessons to learn. But if we step into this year more intentionally, we might just benefit from it so much. So here is an intention setting question that I adapted from our workbook for the retreat that's coming up. What is one word or phrase that captures your intention for this year? What is one word or phrase that captures your intention for this year? And you don't have to remember it. It's going to be in a show notes. So you might be driving right now, might be in the middle of doing other things. You can go back to those show notes and read them over and sketch your intentions when you have a moment to do so. The second question, what are you longing to release or let go this year? And the third question, what do you want to invite into your life as a result of this retreat in this case, or throughout this year, during this year, for this year, what would you like to invite? And of course, specifically for the retreat purposes, those questions are about self-care, nervous system regulation. How can we let go of certain things to make more space for those practices on a regular now life? But for you right now, you're more than welcome to use it just in general for this whole year, or apply those questions to your plans for your self-care. How are you gonna take care of yourself this year? We're gonna make a commitment, make a plan for this early on, because nobody else can make one for us. People, events, situations will come and they will all want your attention and energy, and they will not say no for you. They always be asking for your yes. So as soon as you answer those questions or just contemplate your intention, there is something that you can come back to at any time and check in, engage. Am I living in the light of it all? Am I really cultivating and then bringing it in, or I'm getting carried away by multitude of conflicting concerns, just like in that quote? And after you set those intentions, then the time, what comes next is, it's the time to really look into your schedule and see what you have going on and learn what are those things that you can tweak a bit in your schedule, in what you do, how to invest your time and energy to create a more stable foundation for your nervous system. It's not really a technique per se. It's more so an audit. What a scary word. An audit of how you are sleeping and eating and exercising. Are you socializing? Maybe you're socializing too much. How are you taking care of your very basic needs? And that's something that we need to look at even before we learn techniques that we can utilize in the moment to cope with stress. A lot of my clients ask me, how can I cope with stress? How can I cope with stress? How can I cope with overwhelm? And I'll tell them, first and foremost, we want to make sure that you sleep and drink enough water and eat regular meals and find a way to socialize in a way that feels good to you, not too much, not too little. And it's not like we're looking for a perfect recipe. It doesn't exist. Sometimes you will sleep less. Sometimes you will sleep more. Sometimes you will forget to drink that water. But as long as we can make an intention, we will slowly but truly move towards that unreachable perfection. But in a way, we need a target like that that will remind us, hey, the reason why you're feeling crappy, it's because you haven't slept enough. And this is a great place to start. So in the workbook, this is where we go first. We look at all of those areas in our lives: sleep, movement, gut health, food, community. And I also added another section in here. It's called vagal toning. Vagal toning refers to specific exercises we can do that tone our vagus nerve, which is actually a network of nerves. It's not just one nerve that is responsible for our nervous system regulation. And if we have a low tone, it has difficulties regulating our nervous system. We might spend a lot of time in the stress response, flight and fight, rushed, overwhelmed. We can even drop all the way to feeling burned out if we spend too long in that heightened state. So it's very important to allocate time for self-care as well that is centered around vagal toning. But I don't necessarily want to be talking about this today, because ultimately, I believe if you figure out how to get enough sleep more often than not, how to get movement, the kind of movement that you like. It doesn't have to be a gym. It doesn't have to be exercise. It's got to be some kind of movement, though, especially if you spend a lot of time in front of your computer. How to nourish your gut with the proper foods and consistently, and how to engage with the community, maybe local or online, or just how to spend time with your family if that's all you have time for right now, quality time. And after all of those things are done and you found like a good flow, of course you want to add vagal toning, self-care, because for most of us, we need that kind of special alone time, or with a friend, with a cool other, like emotionally safe other, which tends to be a friend that we can share those practices with. But a lot of times, if you have a full plate already, you have a family, you have kids, you have a job, you have friends, I really recommend to do those vagal toning practices alone, just to allow yourself to be totally undisturbed. So there's no requests on your attention, energy. You can just really settle and relax into that moment. And some questions to consider when you audit your current schedule is to ask yourself, let's say, how would you currently rate yourself in each of these areas, in the area of sleep, in the area of movement, eating healthy, socializing? You can even throw regular self-care in there. If one, it would be like a very low level of satisfaction that you have in that area, and 10 would be a very high level of satisfaction or effectiveness in that area that you're already observing, where are you at in all of those areas? And then after you give each one of them a number on a scale from 1 to 10, you then ask yourself, which of these areas feels most out of balance in my life right now? And of course, the number that you will put next to it might be telling you exactly that. And then you can ask yourself, in which area do I feel like I can make the most immediate and impactful change? Of course, ideally, you would do it in that area that feel least satisfying, least fulfilling to you, but it might be something else that might be not available right now. And based on your assessment, you pick one up to two areas to focus on for the next few weeks. And you can even contemplate, why did you choose those areas? You might already know, but it could be a good reminder of like, okay, why do I want to get more sleep? Oh, because I know when I get more sleep, I feel so much more capable of dealing with life, and I don't really have to even do any kind of breathing techniques. I can just roll with the punches and move through it smoothly. That's what a lot of times enough sleep can do. And when you pick one or two of those areas, and I recommend you not to pick any more, you can ask yourself, what specific manageable goals can I set from this chosen area? Let's say you want to sleep 15 minutes more, or you can reach out to more friends, but specifically say to one more friend. Like, make it very manageable and very easy for yourself, because if you are already in a full plate state, you don't want to make it more complicated for yourself. And after you spend a couple of weeks, or maybe a few weeks, really working on one or two goals, you can add more goals. You can look at other areas. It's always a process of recalibrating, because life never stands still. If you noticed that you can plan and schedule, but then things happen and you have to regroup and go back to your original plan or change your plan. It's going to happen. Don't beat yourself up. It's always work in progress. And then when you feel like you have spaciousness and bandwidth, whether it is you have time or you just have like a mental bandwidth, this is a moment to think about how can you respond to stressful situations or periods of time in a more effective, regulated manner. And those are techniques for when something happens in a moment and doesn't have to be anything out of the ordinary. It can be just a very full to-do list. And you start noticing that you are getting dysregulated. What does it mean? You have a knot in your throat. Like there's a tension in your stomach, tension all around. There's like a mind with thoughts spinning in all directions. And you know what I mean, right? Like, yeah, a stressed day, stressed out day. Like that's a real thing. I think we've all been there. And your way of experience that uniquely yours, even though, of course, since nervous system states underlie all of those experiences of feeling stressed, in the language of nervous system, what you're experiencing is a flight and fight response, and all humans have it. Heart beating faster, the vessels dilating to prepare us to run or to fight, all of that we share with each other, but with different peculiarities from person to person. And for those times, you want to have a toolbox for self-regulation, self-soothing, because you want to bring yourself back to the balance. And of course, and I'm not going to give you all of those techniques in super detail, feel free to go on my website and download that workbook. It's free. Just got to put your email address in. And yes, you will be getting my newsletter, but I'm only sending it a couple times a month this time of year. So I promise you, you're not going to get overwhelmed, because I do get overwhelmed with newsletters. I've been there. It's something that you do, let's say, with your breath, with things that you tell yourself in your mind, self-affirmations, or it can be movement-based, like yoga or shaking or dancing even. It can be very much about giving yourself some self-compassion in that moment, self-love, giving yourself a hug, and throw some positive self-affirmations on top of it and breathe. Like, it can be such a beautiful soup of all of those techniques. My personal favorite is to give myself a self-hug and have a moment with myself, with feeling my breath and whispering to myself in my mind, may I meet this moment as it is. May I meet this moment as a friend. May I meet this moment as a friend. May I meet this moment as it is. And I keep going and I change it up as I wish. I learned this one from at a retreat that I took, meditation retreat recently. And the next trick is to get into habit of doing those. You gotta remember, if you have the toolbox but you don't pick up your tools, they're not gonna work for you. Another day I had a client session and she is experiencing very, very emotionally toxic work environment that she is working on to leave and find another job. And she's in touch with the HR and trying to get a meeting going to bring those people to that meeting and hold them accountable for their behavior, those that are spreading that emotional toxicity around, targeting her specifically. And there is a limited number of things that she can do that she's already doing, basically advocating for herself. And now we're focusing on what else she can do in the moment when she need a break from that environment. And she told me that she did remember those exact words that I just shared with you, that mantra of my own. May I meet this moment as it is. May I meet this moment as a friend. She went into a storage closet and sat down there and took a couple minutes to breathe and say those words. And eventually she relaxed and let go and was able to come back to her work. But if she somehow skipped that, and I would not blame her because that was a new thing for her to do. It takes some remembrance to reach into your toolbox and use the tool. She would just continue on down that spiral into the overwhelm. And even though that particular technique does not fix her situation, does not miraculously make those people be nice to her, the ones that basically bullying her, at least it gives her an opportunity to take a break and bring a sense of safety in her body. And it can be so powerful. Even when our environment is quite disempowering, we can take a stance of, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to take a few breaths, give myself a hug, or lay down and put my legs at the wall. Viparita Karani, that's a yoga pose, legs up the wall, that allows the parasympathetic nervous system to kick in and then stress response to evaporate. If you have a wall and if you have time, there's so many things that you can do. Again, take a look into the workbook. Not all of them will be available at your workplace, but if you're working from home, you have so much more freedom in regards to what you can do. And lastly, I want to talk a little more about that making time struggle. And of course, I'm laughing because it's, as I already said, impossible to make time. After you audit your days and see what area in your life, like sleep or movement and eating, you need to tweak a little bit and decide what you are going to do when the next time you feel overwhelmed, whether it's a few breaths or taking a walk or calling a friend, whatever. Pick one or two things. Don't pick more than that. You got to remember to do them, and it's easier to remember to do them if you have a short menu, a short one. But then you're like, okay, so what's now? How can I actually put it all into practice? It's by looking again at your schedule, at your life, at what you have going on, the project, the commitments, and starting right there, starting with prioritization. That's the secret sauce. What are you letting go and what are you keeping? What are those balls that you're juggling with that you are willing to drop or just put them down for a moment and pick them up later? Because truly, and I'm gonna say it again, you cannot do it all. And there is might be a part of you, because there is one in me that all resistant and like, don't tell me that. Like, yeah, it's humbling. It's very humbling to realize that. I really recommend the book that I've been reading. It's called, I'm looking it up online, right? 4,000 Weeks Time Management for Mortals. It's not really your regular time management book with all the hacks. It's more a total mindset change that allows you to stand strong in that position that I'm taking right now in my life. I can't do it all, and that's that. I'm going to pick and choose. So what are you willing to shuffle around? How are you going to prioritize? You can only pick one or two things, big things that you can do a day. And if you have a work and if you have home duties, that would be probably it. And then whatever time is left, you can either put it towards self-care, like that special time of your own, or increasing the amount of the time that you sleep, or maybe putting it towards making a healthier meal or calling a friend. You can't do all of those things in one day, so you gotta prioritize, okay? Then, to be able to prioritize, you need to learn how to say no and how to set boundaries. It's again, you gotta set boundaries with yourself in that way. Learning that you cannot do it all, it is a setting a boundary with an unstoppable, ambitious part of you that wants, like, I want it all, I'm not gonna settle for less. We can hear it out, validate it, and at the same time realize that, yeah, setting boundaries is the key with yourself, with that hunger for everything in to be done a certain way, or in one day, or in one week, and also other people and other people's requests of you. I have been really noticing how it feels to say no, and it doesn't really feel good. It feels like I'm letting people down, also myself down. I'm like, oh, I'm passing on this opportunity. Oh, but wait a minute, my mental health is more important. My health is more important, just my mental health. Nervous system regulation underlies all, not just the mental health, but health in general. So set boundaries, and that's a big one. Start looking around for literature on that. And my favorite book is by, I'm probably going to butcher her name. I'm not sure if she's pronouncing it as, I think, Nedra or Nidra. That's on me that I cannot know how to say her name correctly. I'm going to put it in a show notes. I think it goes like, set boundaries and send yourself free, or something like that. Set boundaries, find peace. Yeah. Nedra Glover. TAWWAB. I totally probably would butcher her name. I apologize. English is not my first language either. So that makes it a little more complicated. This is a great book if you are someone who's struggling with boundaries. But even if you just start prioritizing and you don't have time to read that book, it will get you setting boundaries automatically. The next tip, schedule things in, put it on your schedule, write them down, make a date, make an appointment, respect that. There is no other way. I honestly don't believe so at this day and age. If you just say like, oh, I'm going to exercise that day, not going to fly. Well, it might fly, you might do that, but I'm pretty sure if you commit to it by writing about it and actually writing, setting a time when you're going to do it, you will actually see, do you have time to do it? Because a lot of times we think that we can, but then when the time goes by and that time of the day comes, we're like, oh, shoots, looks like whatever I've been doing today took longer than I thought. And, oh, well, I'm probably going to do this thing next time. And the next time never comes. So schedule things in. Also, what really can increase the chances of you actually following through on your plan is finding an accountability buddy, a self-care buddy. I have three of them, actually, that we are checking in with. I created a Facebook group that I'm now taking a break from, probably extended break from. Again, one of those things that I have to say no to, that I created to specifically to create a space for women entrepreneurs to find accountability buddies to exchange messages with, to hold each other accountable. Hey, this is my plan for this week, and this is what I did today. Believe me, when you have someone to report to, you are much more likely to do it. I don't know if you need a scientific study to confirm it. I think it's just life. So in my group, among my online friends, I met one of them actually, and a real person, one of my accountability ladies. We exchange messages every other day, every week. It depends on our schedule, how often we do that. And we say our goals and we say what we've done and what we're still going to do. And we're really also good at giving each other grace and making sure that we are understanding of each other, because sometimes we have really nice goals, but life happens again. And here we are again, going another week without like really stepping up our game in terms of self-care, but we can start again. We start again, and it's really nice to have a cheerleader on your side. I'm going to create a Telegram group or maybe a WhatsApp group where I will connect ladies like that who wants an accountability buddy, and where ladies will be able to drop what they did and what their plans are for this week. And that would probably be it. So if you need a place to celebrate your achievements and just to drop a line or two about what your commitment is to increase your chances of doing it, that will be our place to hang out. It will be very limited to this specific function. I don't want to share any tips or tricks in that chat. I don't want to overwhelm you more with more information. You can find it online, Google it, find it in my workbook. There's so much of it. What I think we really need is accountability. So maybe you find one in my Telegram chat, or maybe you find one among your friends. Please do. And lastly, I want to inspire you to start very small. Do you remember how I said, when it comes to, let's say, sleeping longer, add 15 minutes, like go to sleep 15 minutes earlier. It doesn't mean that you're going to sleep 15 minutes longer, because you might take some time to fall asleep, but create time, although you can create time for those goals in increments. You know what I mean? Don't try to say, I'm going to do an hour of this every day. Give yourself some grace. Move into this slowly. You will be grateful later and much more happier this way. So prioritize, set boundaries, schedule things in, find an accountability buddy, and start small. Those are the tips that I share with you for, ultimately, it's a way to manage your time. There are so many books written about it. You can go read them. I just really wanted to give you what I found helpful in my own life so that you can start applying it right away. And that's that for today. That's that. I really want to encourage you to take some time to create an intention for this year when it comes to your self-care and nervous system regulation, and really take your time again to contemplate those goals, specifically in regards to bigger areas. What I mean by bigger areas, those foundational areas like movement, sleep, and eating and socializing first and foremost, and then go towards like, oh, scheduled self-care and what kind of a thing I can do when I really feel stressed out. And then write it all down. I call it self-care manifesto. It's like your own commitment, your letter to yourself that you can refer back to for this year or for the first quarter, however you want to do it, so that you don't get lost, because life will do everything to carry you away. You don't even have to try to get carried away, because it's just gonna happen. And we need something like a contract that you're gonna make with yourself that's very serious, lady, yep, that you will go back to and reaffirm what's important for you, and that's your own health. Because everything else depends on that, on you feeling good, regulated, nourished, fulfilled, satisfied. Nobody's going to do it for you. So check out the show notes for the questions, for the literature, set those intentions, and feel free to go on my website, mybloomingheart.com, scroll down just a tiny bit, and you will see the form for the workbook. It basically goes through this whole process with some differences. I didn't mention a couple of things here. It will tell you about the Telegram group. It will tell you about all of those things. So I'll see you in a group, hopefully, our Telegram group, or in my community, people who are getting my newsletter. But most importantly, take care of yourself and have a beautiful 2025. And if you like this episode, you can help me to spread the word about it. Feel free to leave a review and share about it with a friend. I really appreciate your support. Thank you.